Welcome, everybody, to this year-end investing strategy session. I'm going to consider this the ultimate guide to year-end planning for investing because we put together a lot of notes. We're going to cover a lot of ground today. And if you're not a real estate investor, if you're some sort of other investor, I think you'll get a lot of value out of today's show and today's presentation based on the planning, at least, and some of the strategies that we're going to talk about. So we're going to cover a lot of ground. So welcome, welcome, welcome. This is our year-end investing from Morris Invest. I'm Clayton Morris, longtime real estate investor. I invest in many rental properties over the years. Many properties that were really in bad shape that renovated and built up and took good care to bring them back to life. Now I mostly focus on new construction properties built from the ground up in the best school districts possible. And we're building, about 30 to 40 properties at any given time. And so we're really doing a great job in the best school districts, and that's what our focus is at Morris Invest. So there's a lot of focus right now at the end of the year because we've seen higher interest rates. We've seen a housing market that's been relatively flat over the past 3 months. Prices have gone down over the past 3 months. So we've had a lot of really savvy investors, more advanced investors, adding a property or two or three to their portfolio before the end of the year. One of our longtime investors just added, I think it was 4 properties this week to their portfolio, new construction properties. So there's reasons they're doing that. They understand what's happening. Even though interest rates have been a little bit higher than normal, 2-3 points higher than what they're used to and accustomed to under that artificially inflated period where it was kept artificially low, they understand the tax strategies. They understand the benefit of acquiring additional assets with cost segregation analysis and a lot of the advanced things we're going to talk about on the show today. So there are many roles and tasks that you can outsource in your real estate investing business. But one thing that's your responsibility, we're going to go through this today, and we're going to talk about goals. Okay, it's all about the planning. It's critical that you have a game plan for reaching your financial goals. And on today's show, I'm going to talk to you about what that means and some specific action steps that we're going to look at, like having a year-long game plan. We're also going to look at not rushing at the end of the year. So you don't have to rush towards the end of the year to make things happen in your life. You know, this is what people do who are new, because what we want to do is have year-long tax planning. So this is not something you're doing at the end of the year, like, oh my God. And I've been there. I've been there over the years. There was one year, a number of years ago, where we realized we were going to have to pay an enormous amount of taxes at the end of the year that we didn't anticipate. And we had to work with our accounting team and our tax team to come up with a strategy to make some purchases before the end of the year so that we could really mitigate that, but also add to our asset column and to, really mitigate our tax burden, but really add to our asset column. But our goal is, if you're planning throughout the year and you have this strategy in place, that you shouldn't have to race to get across the finish line like that at the end of the year. So no rushing to the end. So on today's show, I'm going to talk about what it means and some specific action steps that you can take to make sure that you're on track here. You know, in general, I recommend taking a comprehensive view of how things are going in your rental portfolio once a month. And, and looking also back at where you were this time last year. So, where was I in 2021? This is an important question. Where were you last year? Just all of you right now, I would love to hear it even in the chat. Just let me know where you were in the chat right now, which is, where were you last year? Where were you last year at this point in 2021, December of 2021? Did you have two houses less? Did you finally sit down and say, I'm going to this year in 2022 really start focusing on paying off debt? What was it? Where were you last year? And have you made some big advancements in that way? And what we're also going to talk about today is having the motivation to make things happen. So I'm going to help motivate you a little bit, I think, to take some action today. That's one of the other things we're going to talk about on today's show, is about motivation. And I'm really going to be sharing our opportunities right now to get on track for 2023. Really get ready to take some notes, guys, because I'm going to share all of my best tips for managing a real estate portfolio at the end of the year. So let's get into a few action steps right now that you can take to manage your portfolio. So let's go. Let's get started, everyone. You guys ready? Let's dive into it. You added 2 doors this year, Deborah says. That's great. Awesome. So you're taking action. So one less house, saving cash while waiting for the housing market to crash. Okay. That's what this and that prepper says. Well, we're already seeing a flattening of prices, three straight months of that. So, you know, again, and I like to point out that there's no one market. There is no one housing market. You're not going to wake up one morning and find out that the whole housing market crashed. Even during 2007, 2008, which I don't think we're ever going to see again, because that was built on fake mortgages, and we don't have that now. Banks are way more stringent. So you're not going to see what we saw in 2007, 2008. And people didn't wake up one morning and found out there was a housing market crash in every quarter of that of the country. In fact, there were a lot of sections of the country that were actually insulated from that. So there is no one market. There is no one real estate bubble. Every market is different. Every town is different. And there's all sorts of reasons for jobs, crime, taxes. What is the state government like? Businesses moving in. There's a whole bunch of different reasons. So let's get started on going through some of these key points today. So let's get started. But first, grab a paper and pen. If you got some notes that you can take, great. Grab some right now. Grab a paper and pen. Grab a journal. One thing I also want you to do is keep a journal. I know this might sound a little maybe trite, but having a journal that you can write down every morning, sort of, you know, start a morning routine, sit down with your journal and write a few notes, just a few things of gratitude for your day, whether you're sitting down doing some prayers in the morning or a morning meditation, whatever it is, and writing down some of your goals. I'm telling you, by putting it down on paper, something magical happens. So just being thankful of the things that you have, but also the where you want to go with this next calendar year, and writing that down every day, visualizing it and keeping track of it. You know, the things that you measure expand, and very, very important to have a journal. I love having a journal. It's a really, really important part of my journey. The other thing I want you to do is to focus on health and wellness. Just some points here. We're going to get into the nitty-gritty of investing in a second, but I had a friend a few years ago who was so driven, focused on acquiring rental properties and building up his investment portfolio that he just was letting his whole body go. He was eating so unhealthy. He didn't get any rest. He looked like crap. And so his health was failing. I'm like, but what is your why? Like, the whole reason you're investing, the whole reason you're building up passive income and trying to help your family is that so you can have a better life. And you're letting your body go. You know, you're literally destroying yourself every day. And the thing that we learn from James Clear in Atomic Habits is that it's all accumulation of like little moments, little things that build up over time. You know, if you want to start lifting weights, you don't go and start lifting the most amount of weight you can lift. No, no, you start small. And you'll get a little sore in the next day, and you build up through repetition. And the same thing with bad habits. Oh, I'm just going to eat some chips tomorrow night. I'm going to eat some chips on the following night. Or you do whatever you're going to do. I'm going to keep drinking. These habits just build up, and it's a cumulative effect. So it really is like the frog going into the boiling water. It's a slow burn. Like, they don't feel it until it's too late. And that's what happens. So we need to focus on health and wellness too. Otherwise, like, why are we doing this? And also, really keep it in perspective, like understanding your why in all of this. You know, why are you doing this? What is your motivation for wanting to invest? Is it just to make money? Because if it's just to make money, that usually never, ever, ever works. Ever. You'll burn out, you'll get fizzled, you just can't sustain it. So it has to be something deeper. You don't want to commute 2 hours to and from work every day. You don't want to be on the freeway, you know, while your kid's basketball game is going on. Maybe you have a sick relative. You want to spend more time with that person. So you don't want to be in the office anymore. You want to travel more. You just want to enjoy life. Like, we only get one shot at this, right? I heard something really profound a few years ago from someone who said this changed their life. In fact, this story changed their life. And it really has resonated with me as well. That when you think about, like, when you're with your kids and you only get a certain number of spring breaks with them every year, right? There's a finite number. Really, you get like a handful when they're old enough to really kind of be active and enjoy it. And then up until they're about 17, 18 or so, and then they want to be off with their friends. You really have like a small window. And so you have a finite number of these things. Are you going to wish you were spending more time on social media and hanging on your phone, playing on TikTok? You know, or are you going to really drill into like spending that quality time and enjoying life? Because you're not going to get it back. Like, you're not going to get that time back. So this is it. So let's make the most of it now. and be unafraid. Like, be brave. You know, fortune favors the bold and the brave. If you sit back on your hands, you're going to waste 2 years just doing that. So keep it all in perspective on why you're doing this. So let's get into a few key action steps so you can take to manage your portfolio. So number one on my list today is about managing your portfolio. The first thing I always recommend is revisiting your freedom number, okay? Your freedom number. I want to examine if anything has changed for you since you last calculated your freedom number. If you need to adjust the number, and you can download the freedom number cheat sheet by going to morrisinvest.com/freedom. It's totally free. It's like a 3-page PDF. Again, morrisinvest.com/freedom. And what it'll do is it'll teach you how to calculate your freedom number. And again, it'll look at all of your expenses, figure out what is your monthly goal so that you can live financially free. And very important to do. This was the thing that changed my life. And it's been to me the arch, the fulcrum, the anchor. I don't know. It's been the anchor of everything we do at Morris Invest is the freedom number. And one night I was with my wife and we were struggling. We couldn't pay our mortgage. And we were trying to figure out, like, how do we get our heads around this? And that's when the idea of the freedom number was born. Like, what if we could replace the monthly pain points of our mortgage and other things that we're paying for, groceries and all of the other expenses? What if we could replace that with cash flow so that we were always protected? We would never worry about being fired from a job or having a contract that expired and we wouldn't be paid again. We would always be protected because we had cash flow from our assets, from our real estate coming in. You don't get that from gold. You don't get that from silver. You don't get that from crypto. You don't get that from stocks. You get dividends, but you don't get the tax benefits and the consistent cash flow that you get from real estate. Just you don't. So let's take a look at the freedom number a little bit more closely. Revisit your freedom number. What is that number? Put it up on your, you know, refrigerator. Put it up on your, put it up on your mirror in your bedroom. Put it other places so you can see it constantly. What is that freedom number? Is it $5,000 a month that it would take for you and your family to live financially free? Great. And put that up on keep in front of you so you know what your goal is. And then what has changed? Look and see, like, okay, what has changed from last year to this year? You know, have we had a baby? Maybe inflation, right? This is normal, right? And you can adjust that number. Maybe last year you only needed $5,000 to live every month and have all of your expenses paid and covered. Well, now with inflation, maybe it's $5,500. So what's changed? Make sure that, you know, inflation happens. It's okay to make that change. Don't worry about that. And then keep it front and center. Like I said, put it on your refrigerator. Keep it in your wallet. Put it on your mirror in your bedroom. Put it on your computer screen. So every time you turn on your computer, you look at that number and you know why you're turning on the computer to do work, right? To get to that number, to make it happen. The next thing I want you to focus on, number two on my list here, is to stay balanced. If you haven't already, I want you to run the numbers on all of your properties. So this is sort of a check-in phase, right? To see where you are and what's working, what's not working. So end of the year, we really want to stay balanced and check in on your balance sheet. So this is really important because you have to keep track of your assets and liabilities. See how everything is growing over time. Update your Q4 balance sheet if you haven't already. Please run those numbers on your properties and don't lie to yourself. This is a problem with investors. The numbers don't lie. And a lot of times people will lie to themselves about what, you know, what their assets are currently doing, what their stocks are currently doing. You've got to look at these things and be realistic. Like, what are the taxes on this property? What is the cash flow? Has it been vacant? Do I need to talk to a property manager about increasing rents? You know, these are all things you need to focus on. Update your balance sheet and be honest with yourself. Keep track of all of your assets and liabilities. Is it performing as expected? You know, when you bought this property, this asset, you were going to get $1,200 a month in cash flow. Well, is it? Is it more? Is it less? Why is the reason for it being more or less? You know, keep track of that. And then I really want you to cut bait or make a change. So is this property, you know, again, if my wife and I used to do this, if we had 50 rental properties, we would look at the, I always want you to look at the dogs in the bunch, right? There's always going to be one or two that are going to be like, eh, man, that street, that property, what is it with that one? It's just going to happen as an investor. So you need to cut bait or make a change. Like, it's not going to resolve itself, right? So get rid of it, figure out a strategy to make it better, or it's just not working. So sell it, roll that money into another asset, but don't get emotional about it. Cut bait, make a change. All right. And then finally, the worst thing you can do on this one, well, not finally, but in my number two here, the worst thing that you can do is bury your head in the sand. So if you got one of these dogs in your property list that's just not working, don't bury your head in the sand. Figure it out. Talk to your property management company, you know, and really focus on that. Lindsay in our chat says, how often do you need to update it? Well, I mean, you want to be looking every month at your balance sheet. You want to be looking every month at what, you know, how you did last month. But every year is when you really want to take stock of the whole portfolio and see what were our expectations last year? What was the one that was really not performing for us this year? But just don't hide yourself from these numbers. All right. Don't lie to yourself about them, because it's not going to fix itself. All right. Number three on my list here is to have a routine checkup. Just like going to the dentist, check in with your team members, reach out to your property management company. So what is in this checkup? It doesn't have to be painful, but information is power. So call your property management company. Now, if you're working with a good property management company, they're going to be in constant contact with you anyway, maybe on a monthly basis, maybe through the software that you use with them, but check in with them. And also check in with your portfolio manager, right? And your management team and your accountant team. So your accountant, of course, is going to help you with tax strategy throughout the year to make sure. Now look, we work with our tax team. If you go to our website, if you go to morrisinvest.com/lower-your-taxes, we have a tab right there on the screen. We work with the team from Wealthability. And we don't just meet with them at tax time. That's a huge mistake. I mean, how many people watching right now just do their taxes and they don't have a tax strategy session every quarter? Huge mistake. And the beauty of that is that you're, you know, doing your taxes is the easy part. Like filing the taxes should be the easy part. The harder part is the tax strategy sessions that take place throughout the year, the projections on how much income you're making so that we can then plan to how to mitigate those tax burdens, right? What do we need to do in the business to make sure that you're paying, you know, you're paying less because we're doing things that benefit the company and also are written in the tax code to benefit businesses? How can we take advantage of these things? That comes from tax planning throughout the year, not waiting until the end of the year. So also checking in with your portfolio manager, the person that helped you acquire a rental property or two or three, checking in with them to see like what properties are currently coming up available. You know, here's the thing I'm wanting to buy. So maybe you want to buy 5 properties over the next few years. When you book a call with our team at Morris Invest, like we're going to discuss those things with you. Our goal is to help you get to that goal or get to that, your freedom number 5-10 years from now. So we're going to be regularly talking with you over the course of many, many months to help you achieve that goal. Well, you know, how can you get there if you're not having regular dialogues about where, you know, how are things going right now? Are we on track to hit that, those projections of where, you know, adding these properties down the line? All of those things come from talking to your portfolio manager. All right. The next step in our process is all about securing your retirement accounts. So this is the next step. Step 4, securing your retirement accounts. How is your retirement doing right now? Like if you've got a, you know, are they holding up okay in this environment? Like your future is depending on that, right? This and that prepper says, question, where do I find that tax help? What question should I ask? Well, if you go to our website, if you go to morrisinvest.com/lower-your-taxes, and you can book a call with the team from Wealthability, we have a partnership with them that they help our clients. But just get on the phone with them. and just talk to them. I think it's free. It's just a free initial discussion with them and have it, tell them what your needs are. So we started partnering with them because they realized, hey, not every one of your clients that you work with at Morris Invest is going to have 30 rental properties. There's going to be clients that are just starting that just want one or just going to get started. So we built like a program with them to help all of the people that we work with. And they're fantastic. They can point you in the right direction and kind of give you advice on how to start to structure things and put things in place. So that's what I would recommend. That's what I would recommend doing. All right. So securing your retirement funds, how are they holding up? You know, what does your stock-based portfolio look like? Are you feeling pain from the inflation right now? Like, oh boy, is your retirement looking like crap because of all this inflation? You know, do you have a self-directed IRA? Can you be proactive and move this over to a self-directed IRA? There's no set it and forget it. If you're setting something and forgetting it, it's not going to work.
Today's episode is brought to you by Crowd Health. Open enrollment is here right now, and that means now is the time to take charge of your healthcare decisions. Now, we all know the system isn't working, it's totally broken. And thanks to Crowd Health, we can do something about it. Crowd Health puts your healthcare back in your hands. Cut out the middleman, save money, and fund your healthcare costs without relying on big government or big insurance companies. Now, see any doctor you want anytime. No deductibles, no exclusions, no co-pays. You only pay the first $500 of any healthcare event. So the Crowd Health community then takes care of the rest. It's unbelievable. No exclusive doctor networks, no huge premiums or high deductibles, no surprises. You pay one low monthly total to fund your account, and then your monthly subscription helps fund the healthcare costs of the entire Crowd Health community. And if you have an event or a healthcare event, the community comes together and actually pays your bills. It's amazing. So it's unlike insurance because there's no doctor network, so you can see any doctor that you want to. Oh, it's unbelievable. It beats insurance. I mean, it really beats insurance by totally reversing the vicious incentives that got us into this mess in the first place. Though Crowd Health really provides you a true peace of mind. Now, open enrollment is the only time that you can hit the eject button on the broken system without paying any penalties. So don't wait. And for a limited time, just for $99 per month for your first 6 months when you use promo code INVESTING at joincrowdhealth.com. That's joincrowdhealth.com, promo code INVESTING. Try it now to take charge of your healthcare today with Crowd Health.
I want you to look at the power of a self-directed IRA. So let's say you've got money sitting in a 401k or an old IRA that's just sitting there, getting hammered by the market conditions. Well, what if you took control of that money and you put it to work for yourself in a self-directed IRA? It's the absolute best vehicle that you can use right now to get in the driver's seat of your retirement. Not to mention, a self-directed account offers protection against inflation. So if you're even slightly curious about getting started with a self-directed IRA, or you have questions about whether or not it's right for you, my team would be happy to look at your financial snapshot and see if you have funds that could be converted into a self-directed retirement account. The next step in this process is to consider this. Consider a cost segregation analysis. This is number 5 on our list. Another strategy to move in the right direction of building the power of depreciation and building a portfolio. As a real estate investor, you already know the power of depreciating assets to reduce your tax bill. But if you need more help offsetting your tax burden before the end of the year, a cost segregation is one of the most powerful strategies to do so. Instead of depreciating everything to the standard 27.5 years, a cost seg allows you to reclassify components into shorter timeframes of 5, 7, or 15 years. Now, this can potentially save you thousands of dollars on your tax bill, depending on your situation. We have properties ready to close with a cost segregation study built in at no cost to our clients. This allows high-income earners to keep more of their money in their pockets and pay little to no taxes legally. Even though it's December, it's not too late to take advantage of this cost benefit from a cost segregation analysis. But you need to act right now before the end of the year. So our team can help you do that. The beauty is that a cost segregation takes months to complete. again. But our team can help you do it immediately because we've already got them built into our properties. So if you're in that sort of tax crunch here at the end of the year and you need a property right now, you can take advantage of this cost seg and actually close before the end of the year with our team, and we'll be able to help you with that. Because a cost segregation, as someone was asking in the chat earlier, can take months. You know, what you'll have to do is schedule it out. A cost segregation engineer will have to fly to the town where your properties are. They'll have to spend a day or two doing an analysis of those properties, come back, file the paperwork. So it can take months to do that. And so that's the beauty of having these sort of things built in ahead of time. Anyway, it's not for everybody, but it's certainly, it's just an amazing advanced tax strategy if you understand the benefits of it. All right. And we can help, as I mentioned. So book a call with our team if you're interested in that piece of it. We're happy to help on that. All right, next, to help you grow. So we want to grow our portfolio, and it's about portfolio growth at the end of the year. So one way to quickly do that, something I've done over the years, is with a portfolio loan. Whether it's to reach your goal or to help with, you know, tax deductions, you may still need to pick up a few rental properties before the end of the year. And the best way to quickly buy multiple rental properties is with a portfolio loan. Now, at Morris Invest, we've helped, you know, we have a top-notch portfolio program that includes income-producing properties in the best growth markets in the United States. And if you really need to mitigate your tax burden, this is a great way to go. And our portfolio program gets you the properties you need. And in certain situations, we can even provide free cost segregation studies to offset the taxes in this. And it allows you to buy multiple properties at one time. So a number of years ago, the first portfolio loan I ever did allowed me to buy 10 properties at one time and close all in the same day. And it was amazing. And I was able to really increase my overall net worth using the bank's money. This is the key, guys, using the bank's money to do this. This is a great way to go. And you can even, you know, and then being able to even do a cost segregation study ahead of time or later, depending on your situation. I urge you, if you're interested in this, book a call with our team. We can help you with this like right away to mitigate your tax burden fast before the end of the year, you know, and get a free cost segregation study and all of this. Very, very, very good. Deborah says, and yeah, that's why I said specifically, Deborah brings up a good point. You can't use that unless you're a full-time in real estate, correct? So exactly. So if you, and this is another strategy, you might not have thought of this. You might say, okay, so what does it mean to be a real estate professional in the tax code, in the eyes of the tax code, to be a real estate professional after 750 hours a year in real estate as a professional? That doesn't mean you have to be a real estate agent, okay? It just means you have to be working actively in the real estate business as an investor, et cetera, looking at properties, talking with property managers, managing your properties, listening to education material like this. Like if you're a real estate professional and you're listening to this show right now, this actually counts towards your education, towards that 750 hours for the year. You also can't have another full-time job. So this is a great tax strategy, for instance, for spouses. So let's say the wife is a brain doctor. Okay, and the husband is, you know, is self-employed and works from home and does investing from home. That husband should absolutely talk to the accounting team about reclassifying himself as a real estate professional, because now, not only does he get the benefits of becoming an active investor under the tax code as opposed to a passive investor, he also then gets to mitigate all of the money that his wife's making at the brain surgery. Now they're in a whole different tax category. So that doctor just went from paying gallons in taxes because they're taxed at the highest level as a W-2 employee. Now, because her husband is a real estate professional under the tax code, completely alters the tax plan. And this is something you should talk with your tax advisors about. But then as a real estate professional, you get to take advantage of the cost segregation analysis, which also adds a whole other layer of benefit to your taxes. See, this is why I mean, guys, nothing even comes close to real estate from an investing perspective in the tax code. Bottom line, talk to Tom Wheelwright, the smartest accountant, tax accountant in the world, arguably. He's written a number of great books. Tax-Free Wealth is one example. And he's a great friend of our show. And he said on a recent episode that we talked about, he said, real estate is at the top of the list. Nothing comes close. So if you're a stock investor, you're a crypto investor, real estate is at the top of the list from the tax code. top of the list. So pay attention to that. Ross said, I set an appointment to talk with a member of your team on Friday. Is it possible to speak with someone today about a year-end purchase? Yes. Can somebody from our team help Ross out in the chat here? We'll get you set up earlier on that. I know time is of the essence, and we only have, what is today, the 7th of December. So we have a few weeks to get this closed. So Ross, yeah, one of our team members will move you up in the schedule to get you into that. We know the timing is of the essence here. But we do have financing built into all of our properties, so already ready to go. So that condenses the time schedule, so it's not going to be as bad as waiting. You know, normally you have to wait for a 30-day close and all of that stuff. So hopefully we can really accelerate this before the end of the year for you. So that's some pieces on portfolio strategies and getting that free cost segregation study. So next, I want to talk about the exchange. So exchanging non-performing real estate for higher return rental properties, a 1031 exchange. Now, as you're looking sort of at the end of the year here, you're thinking, okay, I've got, and this is where we talked earlier in the show about like some of the dogs that you might have in your portfolio. Again, if you've got, and I want you to think as if you have 50 rental properties. Okay, when you're starting out, it can be nervous. You're like, oh my God, I got one rental property. So if there's a vacancy in this property, sky is falling. I want you to picture yourself as if you're a more advanced investor and if you've got 50 rental properties. Will you be thinking sky is falling if one of your properties is going through a tenant turnover and is vacant for 2 weeks or 3 weeks while you get a new tenant in there? No. But as a new investor, when you've got one rental property, like everything is amplified, right? Just, I want you to think as if you are already at 50 properties. If you start thinking that way, you're like, wow, that changes everything. Changes my perspective, right? No, I'm not going to let that bother me. You know, Robert Kiyosaki, my friend, he's got, you know, 2,000 properties. Do you think he worries about the one? Of course not. As long as he has a plan to make sure that they're all moving in the right direction. And that's what today's show is all about. So thinking about that strategy, about how to make sure that I'm not freaking out when I've got a dog in the hunt. Well, how do you do that? You think about a 1031 exchange. So a 1031 exchange allows you, of course, to improve your position by maybe cutting bait on a property that's not performing for you and rolling it into an asset that's better. Let me give you an example. A couple of years ago, we had an investor from Arizona who had a couple of really expensive properties in Arizona, but they were not performing. I mean, again, when you have properties that are $500,000, $600,000, $700,000, $800,000, that's what they're worth. Well, the rent is never going to keep up with that price tag. So the rent was significantly lower. Therefore, his return on investment was way down. Expensive property, low cash flow. So what did he do? We did a 1031 exchange with him where he was able to take those two or three expensive properties and he rolled it into like 15 cash flowing higher return properties using a 1031 exchange program. So talk to our team about it. A 1031 exchange is a powerful tool, very, very powerful for improving your returns. And it's one thing to consider here before the end of the year. You'll have to act fast because a 1031 exchange allows you to essentially trade in your assets without taking a hit on your taxes. So like any other tax saving strategy, there are a lot of rules and regulations involved with a 1031 exchange. So you'll need to work with a professional on that and we can help you in that regard. All right, next up, outsource it all. Outsource it, baby. You can't do it all, I should say. I would like to say outsource it all, but you can't do it. So something to consider. Let me just go through these here. So what I want you to think about, if you're overwhelmed, and this is actually something I'm going to be doing here in the next week and a half. Candidly, I've been a little overwhelmed this year. We have a channel that has been doing really well. So about on our redacted channel where we cover the news and we cover market, larger, broader market insights and what's happening with geopolitics, which affects everything that we're talking about here. I look at that channel and I say, well, we've got about 1.5 million subscribers now on that channel. And I put a ton of work into it and it shows. But I need help. Right? I can't do it all. So there's things that I need to outsource right now because I'm just, there's little simple things that are falling through the cracks that I need help with? And these are things you need to reflect on. And so during the Christmas holiday, this is a thing I'm going to be doing. What I'm showing you right here is exactly what I'm going to do. And I try to do it every year because my birthday is December 31st. So I always look at a sort of like a calendar as a reset. I know people don't believe in New Year's resolutions, but for me, it's my birthday. So it's like built in. And I take that time to really rest and relax and meditate, write down a bunch of different things on my journal that I want to accomplish, and I go for it in the following year. What's amazing is that when I write down the 6 to 7 or 8 things that I want to accomplish in the next year, almost always I hit all of those goals. I look back on the goal sheets over the past few years and I hit them, whether it's financial or health benefit, all of those things. Like this past year, I really wanted to get my cholesterol down. My blood pressure was too high. I was eating too many like carbs and I was actually having too much alcohol. So I cut that out of my life. I was able to get my blood pressure way down into great levels now. And also my cholesterol into great levels because I made a change. And I'd like to be around to see my kids grow up. So, you know, that was my motivation. But that started at the beginning of last year. And now I can look back on this year and say, wow, I just got a new blood test a few weeks ago and it came back great. So that blood pressure is down, the cholesterol is down, all of those things. And it was a direct correlation from me staying up late, watching some Netflix with my wife, having a bag of chips and having a glass of wine and doing nothing to help my body at all, right? Then I would get a crappy night's sleep. You know what alcohol does to you, right? You don't get REM sleep. And you put on the extra pounds from eating junk and eating carbohydrates and stuff. So cut that stuff out and I feel better than I have in a long time. But again, that came from sort of that year-end check-in. And what it looks like at the, you know, to write all of your things down. So I want you to write down all of the tasks that you're currently doing. This is important. Everything that you do, okay, write it down. Sit down and I don't care as meaning, like all of the stuff that you're doing in your small business or your day-to-day strategy, your tasks, sit down and write it all down. So put stamps on envelopes, went to the post office to deliver all those boxes that I have to get out from my shipping company, whatever it is, right? Write it all down. Nothing is too small. And then I want you to look at, break them into groups. And here's how we'll break them into groups, okay? Break up all of the tasks into different areas. Are these impactful for my life, for my business? Great. Okay. Then we need to keep doing those things that we know are really moving the needle in our life, right? But maybe you don't necessarily need to be doing them. That's the point. Okay. Is there something on this task list that is really your strength? For instance, are you currently doing all of the accounting, bookkeeping for your company, for your investing? So what Natalie and I were doing, we were doing our own bookkeeping. And what we realized is that we are mediocre bookkeepers. Like we're not very good. And so what happens is once we all outsource that to our bookkeeping team, game changer, right? And so you might think you're good at it. And Natalie was mediocre at bookkeeping, maybe, you know, better than mediocre, but how much, so think about the money that we're paying Natalie then to be a mediocre bookkeeper, right? Her time is now being taken up by being a mediocre bookkeeper. Wouldn't that time be better served in her zones that are really showing mastery? And that's the point. Get them out of this drudgery zone. You know, focus on joy and focus and the things that are bringing you drudgery, we want to move away from those things and get it off of your plate right now. Break these things down, find out what falls into that drudgery area and then get it off. This and that prepper says, I started the carnivore diet on November 1st, lost 14 pounds so far. Woohoo. That's awesome. So I've done the same thing. So over the past few weeks, I've been reading the carnivore code because the mainstream narrative wants you to stop eating meat. And that's what the World Health Organization and the World Economic Forum wants you to do. These globalists, they want to take away farms. They want to take away what's being been a food source for millions of years. And they want you to start eating like highly processed garbage that they control and they control the food source. So anyway, look into it. And I've had friends that have done it now where they've lost like 17 pounds in a few weeks and they feel the best, their inflammation has disappeared. Clear Brain. So a book that I'm reading right now called The Carnivore Code. Check it out. Go to it with an open mind. Don't let your preconceived... This is something I want to say. If you're around people who are inflexible in your life, that's very, very dangerous. Always follow, like if there's like a little thread and it's facts, follow the facts, go with it. Don't be afraid because you've got some sort of thing in your life that tells you you can't look and stare facts in the face. Like read everything. I've read books on veganism, vegetarianism, carnivore, like read them all. Okay. And find out the truth that way and what works for you. So do it. Yes, this is recorded, Gilbert. So you can go back and watch it afterwards. So get those things off your plate right now. Now, Michael Hyatt, I highly recommend Michael Hyatt. He has the Focus Journal and he has a course. And that's where I learned this system specifically was on outsourcing these things. He breaks this into a pie chart. About having impactful strengths, joy, and drudgery. You want to absolutely make sure that anything that's on your list of all the tasks that you've written down, if any of them fall into the drudgery zone, you want that off of your plate immediately. Like, I hate spreadsheets. Hate it with a passion. So there's no way that I'm going to be hanging out in spreadsheets no way. So that's outsourced and in the hands of a bookkeeper who loves spreadsheets. Like I know people who literally love Excel spreadsheets. My God, to me, that's drudgery. But for them, they love it. So why would I do it? I'm going to do a crappy job at best, and it's going to ruin my business. Probably going to hurt my cash flow, hurt my investments. So get it off of your plate. During the Christmas holiday, instead of sitting there watching Netflix for a night, just grab your journal, sit by the fire, tune everybody out, and really write down your goals and write down a whole list of your tasks. You're going to have like 100 of them that you're currently doing every week. Going to the grocery store, putting stamps on envelopes, sending emails, all of it, write it all down. If any of these things fall into that drudgery zone that you absolutely hate, really seriously consider thinking about outsourcing it to someone. You can use a service like Upwork.com. There's other great services out there where you could find a freelance person to work with you that can handle that task. You could post a job on LinkedIn Jobs or Indeed.com and, you know, any of those things and find somebody that can help you or even Fiverr. Fiverr has people that will handle small tasks, stuff like that as well. So get that stuff off your plate. All right. And then next up, remember to keep up with the year-end tax strategy. Now, I touched on this a little bit before, but now is your last chance to influence your tax bill for the year. So that calendar December 31st comes, that's the day, folks. Okay? There are some things you need to do right before the end of this year and this calendar year that really affect and influence the tax man. So be sure to touch base with your tax team. Talk with them. Get on the phone with them. Email them. Let them, they have a good tax team. They're going to know your strategies. They're going to know what's going on with you. So they're going to be able to point you in the right direction. Now, like I said, a few years ago, we had a higher than expected tax bill that was suddenly going to be coming. And our tax team called us because they were aware of it. They were proactive. And they said, guys, Clayton and Natalie, here's what we need you to do. We need you to do this immediately. And it was like, I think it was like December 23rd, no joke. And we had to rush because they caught it and they saw this thing. We didn't even see it. Being proactive before the end of the year. And we got this thing done that we were able to construct and set up for our business in a few days. And we were able to save ourselves a lot of money on taxes because they caught it proactively before the end of the year. Really, really important. So talk with your tax team. You know, are there things that you can do right now? Can you make some additional purchases? Maybe it's buying some computers for your business. Maybe it's buying a new piece of rental property. By buying a new piece of rental property, you get to depreciate that asset and take a huge tax benefit in this calendar year. And like I said, our team can help you do that. Can you take a cost segregation analysis and use it to your advantage right now before the end of the year? Like I said, we can help you do that. Or can you use a 1031 exchange? Like these are all things to consider before the end of the year, because if you then say you're going to do a 1031 exchange, of course, then that gets counted in this calendar year. The next thing we want to talk about, number 10 on my list, is to find support. You know, one of the most important things you can do is stay on track. It's to find people who understand your goals. and want to cheer you on. Because investing can feel isolating if you don't have anyone else to help you carry that big weight on your shoulders. If you don't have any like-minded friends, this is very, very important. You know, go to a meetup group. Just go to meetup.com and do a search for local real estate investment groups or investment groups. It doesn't have to be real estate. Just find investment groups that get together once a month and they talk strategy and they get to hang out and bounce different ideas off of and talk about the markets and so forth. It's a great place to meet people too. And after 3 years of, you know, people not being social, we've seen how detrimental it is to our children, right? We've seen how 2 years of lockdowns for children has set them back years. I mean, from speech development to mental development, anxiety, depression, just not being around people has absolutely been crushing for people. So again, you know, go to meetup.com and look for a service that would be that you could find some local people in your neighborhood to get together and hang out. You know, invite some people over and watch a football game and talk some. You know, create your own group. By the way, maybe it's time, you know, you create your own investing group and get together, or you know, join one of us at Morris Invest. We're happy to help. Again, you can book a free call with our team. If you haven't already, one of our portfolio managers would love to learn your strategy. It's totally free. You're not going to pay us to talk to you. So just book a call with us. Go to morrisinvest.com. Click on that book a call button on the screen right there. And a little calendar will pop up after you put in some information about what type of investor you are. And then we'll get on the phone with you. Schedule your call with us. And it doesn't matter how you go about it. But having someone support you on your journey is inevitable. You know, the beauty is that we're going to be able to work with you and help you on a long-term basis. That's what our team does. So we're going to be able to sit back and say, okay, last year, John, you wanted to hit this number of properties. You're almost there. Let's try to push for this. And we're going to be able to really strategize with you and work with you over the next couple of years. So it's important to have that support. You can't do this all on your own. You can't do that all on your own. Let me make sure my thing has got set up here. There we go. All right. So as we're kind of coming to a close here, there's a couple of important pieces I want to talk about here at the end, which is remember the long-term goals of why you're investing in the first place. There's three stages of real estate investing. The long-term growth strategy. And if you've taken the time to review your individualized action plan with your portfolio manager, then this is the perfect tool to help you and our team to stay focused on your 5 to 10 year plan. You know, as you progress through the three phases of real estate investing, it's really crucial to keep those goals in the forefront of your mind. It's easy to become complacent. It's easy to get upset, especially when you're within phase two. You've purchased real estate, all of your properties to reach your freedom number, and then your tenants are paying down your loans. That's great. This is not the time to sit by and watch from afar. This is the fun part, in my opinion. You know, you can review different strategies on how to pay down some loans faster, use equity from one property to pay off another. This is when it gets fun. It's like my favorite game that I always played and always beat my sister when we were growing up. It was called a game called Stratego. Did you guys ever play that? She used to get so frustrated because I would always win this game. And, you know, you weren't allowed to surround your flag with bombs. That was cheating. But you could put spies in certain areas and really be strategic about it. I loved it. And she never won. I think she's watching right now and she knows that she never won. So maybe I need to recap the three phases of real estate investing with you. So phase one is, well, first step is to talk with your portfolio manager to understand where you are in this process. The three phases are buy, own, and cash flow. Okay. You see them in red here? Buy, own, and cash flow. So phase one is when you're actively building your portfolio. So you could be purchasing your first or your 10th property. You are active in this process. Okay. You're actively buying. So the cash flow is not really going to be your concern at that stage, is it? No, you're buying assets right now. That's what you're doing. You're looking at your net worth column and you're seeing those assets increase. The cash flow, that comes later. It's the buying and of course the tax benefits of buying. Then the next stage is once the tenants, phase two, you've purchased all of your investment properties that you need to in order to eventually reach your freedom number. Now your properties are performing and you're strategizing on paying off your loans and reaching the full potential of your properties. That's the beauty of owning them, okay? Now you own them. You know, the loans are paid off, taken down, all good. And then phase three is the cash flow phase. You're now in the cash flow part of the investment process. Your loans are paid in full. You are collecting the cash flow and you have reached your freedom number. And then, of course, what do you want to do? You want to rinse and repeat, right? Because once you become a real estate investor, you understand that you have to buy until you die. And that's the strategy, right? Because you buy, you're paying down the loans. Now you get the benefits of the income from the cash flow from the tenants. Well, now that's income. So I want to offset that income by buying again. And the beauty is you keep rolling and rolling and rolling, and then you hand that down to your family and they don't have to pay taxes on that. That's the beauty of real estate investing. Under the tax code, nothing else works this way. Nothing in the tax code. No other investment works like real estate. And hey, I like to say this is Congress writes these rules. I don't, right? That's how they're written. So you can cry about it or you can work with them, right? You can run for office yourself and try to make changes if you think the tax code is unfair. You could do that. Right now, the tax code is written a certain way that benefits real estate investors. So I could spend 30 years crying about it until something changes, but right now it's not. And so they want to partner with investors who build houses. We have we need millions of homes in the United States. We have a home shortage. Therefore, they've created tax incentives for builders to build. This is the way this works. And I know the media doesn't like that. I know CNN doesn't like talking about that, but that's the way it works. Entrepreneurs who actually stick their neck out there, they take the risk and they build, they end up getting the tax benefits of changing a neighborhood, building subdivisions, building new schools. It's not the government. The government screws things up. The government screws things up when they get involved in building homes. We know that. So they don't do it anymore. So that's how you want to do it. Rinse and repeat that process. And again, we can help. If you want to book a call with our team at Morris Invest, we'll take care of you. Go to morrisinvest.com. Click on that book a free call button. And that's the way to do it. We've got tons of other great things over there to help you out and get you started in real estate investing.